Oh, no!
Here we go.
Can I persuade you to join us for a drink? It's a tradition.
Here, here.
Jar Jar, homie, my main man. Quickly, before the Separatists attack, get into the escape pod.
This is escape, then we're the pod.
Jesus!
Welcome back to Star Wars Escape Pod and another after show for The Bad Batch. We have episode 5, The Return, and we have our friends Kirk and Darian joining us today. We're just going to be diving into this episode, and as we have been for the last couple weeks now, getting into The Bad Batch after show. Speaking of after shows, we've got so many after shows, so many sub-series we've done in the past. Feel free to look us up on Spotify. You can find pre-made playlists that you can get into for Star Wars Rebels, Clone Wars, Mandalorian, so much more. So link will be down in the description below for that, for as usual. But without further ado, let's get into it.
Landing.
Hello, Kirk.
Yo, yo, what's up?
Yo, what's up, man? And hello, Darian.
Hello, my friends.
Hello, welcome back. Second time around. Great to have you back, Darian. And, you know, the last time people heard your voice was in January, I think it was.
I believe so. It's good to be back. Thank you very much for having me.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for coming back on. We have another Bad Batch episode this week, or I guess technically that came out last Wednesday, and it's called The Return. So what I'll do is I'll just read through the description here, and then we can just dive right in. Despite the other's tentative tolerance of his presence and Omega's encouragement, Crosshair still struggles with the repercussions of his betrayal and captivity. Echo returns to Pabu, and together, the Bad Batch discusses Mount Tantis and the experiments conducted on the clones. To get more details from Nala Se's datapad, they reluctantly follow Crosshair's suggestion to connect it to a computer terminal at his former post on Barton 4. Finding the depot abandoned, they are forced to divert power from its defense perimeter, thus inviting a huge worm to attack them. Setting aside their differences, the Batch work together to lure the creature outside the perimeter before activating an auxiliary power source, reactivating the defenses. With Crosshair having earned his squadmates' trust back, and with the information they recovered, the Batch sets out to free their brothers from Tantis base, or at least so we're led to believe. So this was an interesting episode. This episode featured a lot of Crosshair and his sort of return to his former squad. We had Echo. Echo's back, you know, and other than Tech, the band is back together again, and they got a dog.
And I just came out of watching Dune Part 2, so I got double the worm this week.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, I came out of watching
I wonder Dune if they actually part. Decided to do that as a coincidence.
Yeah, that is a crazy coincidence. It's pretty uncanny timing.
See, I went more with Tremors.
You went more with... Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't seen Tremors. I've seen the poster like probably 50 to 100 times way back in the Blockbuster, you know, the video works. When we had video stores, I would see it on the wall. It's a bit of a classic. No, I haven't seen that. Have you seen that, Kirk?
No, I haven't. I haven't seen it.
I'll add it to my list.
Well, you guys are both painfully young, so...
Fair enough. Yeah. So, Darian, what'd you think of this episode?
I thought this is one of the best Bad Batch episodes. It's also the most heavily referencing old movies. Like, there's Jurassic Park, Aliens, Tremors, Dune. I was thinking about this earlier, and I thought of like four more other references they made. So I love when they give old nods to old sci-fis.
Yeah. They've done that a few times now. With I got major sort of Alien vibes when we we had the return of the Zillow Beast, that little mini Zillow Beast in season two at one point. So that was kind of neat. While we're on the topic, what sort of alien space movie did you get vibes from when we saw the vine creature in episode two?
Drawn a blank. There was, when I watched it, I was like, oh, this is just like, and now I can't think of it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You have to make me think about that. This is the when they Wrecker and they went out into the abandoned Imperial base where the Imperial, like, they grew that plant that went out of control. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. They found those clone cadets.
Wrecker and Hunter.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
So, I'm trying to think of other references of what it might look like, but
right.
It was viney. That's all I can say.
yeah, viney indeed. This base revisited, you know, the last time we saw that was in a pretty awesome episode with Crosshair. And Kirk, what'd you think of this? What do you think of this episode? And what do you think of that? The return to the snowy base.
So I watched 4 and 5 back to back because I wasn't here for last week's episode. So that was a good experience seeing Crosshair pair up with Echo and then coming into this episode. What I found really interesting is how Crosshair didn't really tell any of the rest of the batch what happened on this base, because this was the same base where Crosshair had his arc in the previous episode where he killed the officer. Mm-hmm. He did mention that in the end, spoilers, I'm going to put it out right now, assuming people have watched it. Yeah. He did mention that he killed the Imperial officer. But he didn't really talk about anything else, like his feelings and other things that occurred on the base, I guess, like what happened with those clones that got abandoned and everything.
Right.
But I thought it was a great episode. I'm keen to hear how things progress from here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the takeaway from this for me was definitely Crosshair. I mean, it was nice to see Echo back, but of course, you know, Crosshair was sort of the featured character to sort of redeem him in a way. And I was looking at a poster of season one, I think it was, just the other day with the Bad Batch. I've at this point, I've completely forgotten that Crosshair had like gray hair, and it just made me think about this character's journey and how I think maybe most people watching the show, at least for the last 3 years, have probably forgotten a little bit as to what his relationship was like, you know, with the Batch back in the day. And this episode kind of brings us back to that moment. You know, it kind of brings us back to those earlier days when things were better, and they're all fighting to survive together. And this worm, kind of, you know, this monster of a, you know, call it an elephant in the room or a monster worm in the room kind of thing. But really, it was just, you know, about the group of them kind of being able to face that together and seeing him come back to his old self, essentially. And but he's different now, and he, you know, he's done some things, and he's got some regrets. And you know, for somebody with such a complex past and a complex character to them, you know, I know, like, out of the three of us here, I'm pretty sure Darian probably has the most to say about, you know, maybe someone like Crosshair, right? I don't know if you want to take a moment to talk about that, but I know in your profession, so to speak, I mean, maybe you can kind of enlighten us a little bit.
Well, so the thing I've been finding the most interesting about Crosshair, and especially these last two episodes, is that tick that he has. Is that PTSD or is that genetic experimenting on him? It makes more sense that it's PTSD because, you know, like, especially in this episode, he's being confronted with, you know, does he really want to be a part of the Bad Batch again? Has he fully gotten out of the Empire in the episode where they're escaping? It sounds like he doesn't really want to. He's trying to go under some penance for his actions, and he doesn't want to give up being an Imperial because it's something he committed to. He betrayed his brothers over. So I thought it was interesting that they started out with him struggling with, have I lost my identity as a sniper, rather than, you know, is this a purely physical thing? Like, he talks about the other aspects of being a sniper instead of just what it means to be accurate.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Even throughout the episode, you can see his relationship with killing a CO change. You know, he doesn't want to talk about it first. He doesn't want to talk about any of the details of this base, but then as it goes, he opens up more and more. He's less confrontational towards the end of it about what he did here than at the beginning, which, I mean, it makes sense as a storyline. They get more information as they go, but yeah, just how they developed that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Sorry, I have so many thoughts on this, and I'm not sure how much to
open. So the tick that he has with his hand, that's not an injury that we've seen, because I couldn't remember in the past if that was something that, like, if something fell on his hand or he got shot there or something. That's something that hasn't been shown yet.
Right. They showed it in a couple of episodes.
Yeah, it's been building. It's been
definitely in episode 3.
Yeah, exactly. What are your theories on that? Like, you think it's a sort of like a PTSD thing, or sort of a strange genetic decay of some kind?
Well, at first I thought PTSD, but they've also been doing genetic experimenting on the clones, so I'm wondering if maybe one of the things they did to him to try and get his midichlorian count to hold better, maybe they gave him some kind of gene therapy or something, that's screwing him up, or maybe he's just been tortured too much. So I haven't ruled that out, but I am leaning more towards PTSD.
Right. Yeah, I'm kind of leaning that way too, personally. Anytime that, you know, we've seen him, in the last two episodes, for sure, like when he was leading Omega, maybe that was the third one of the first couple that we've seen so far in the series, but basically the last like two or three episodes, they've made an effort to put that on display, and I think it will definitely, you know, play a bigger role later. But I do like the fact that his character is like kind of struggling with identity a little bit, you know, because he is the sniper, but he's the sniper of the group, and amongst all of the other complex emotions that this character has going on for him, he's also got this additional thing, you know, to deal with. So it's certainly, I think the most deep we've ever gone with a clone trooper before, you know, more so even than like Rex or Cody. And we spent entire seasons with characters like that in the Clone Wars, and I don't think it ever really got this far with being able to kind of really look at this character and this clone as like such a complex, you know, human being. We've seen all these other characters, these other clones that we've seen throughout the series, you know, behave with emotions that we experience day to day, like anger and sadness and so on and so forth. But yeah, Crosshair is definitely on a whole new level. And I think in that sense, like Hunter and definitely Hunter is also, you know, very relatable. We've seen him go through some changes over the show as well. I think that's something that this show has kind of been a little better for than pretty much any other show out there that features clones. It's given us the time to get to know these characters really well, and gives us the sort of time in episodes like this where they might feel a bit slower, or, you know, maybe, you know, somewhat less relevant to the overall plot. But it's also nice to kind of have that breathing room to understand these characters a bit better and to get to know them, because that is something I think that can be taken for granted, you know, in an animated show like this, which is, you know, at the end of the day, it's made for kids. But it's been nice to get episodes like this every now and again, just to, you know, have something to talk about or something to think about, I guess. So we saw Pabu back in this episode, and Pabu is infamously the most hated episode of all of the Bad Batch for me personally. And,
Pabu, yes.
Yeah. Pabu, friggin' Pabu, man. And we saw Pabu again. They were all hanging out on the island and having a good old picnic. anyone has any thoughts on Pabu here?
I love the contrast between military precision and lab cold, hard regiment to the warm, like, let's eat out of these organic materials and sit and relax and chat and stuff. Whereas, like, when they're in the facilities, everything was so, you're not even allowed to have personal effects. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That's true. That's a good comparison. Yeah. What did you think of the Pabu episode, Durian? I've never got your take on that one.
I didn't hate it. I know a lot of people did, because I know that it was trying to give them a goal ultimately. You know, this could be the life you could have if you got away from being a mercenary, being hunted by the Empire. You can relax, you can have something for yourself. It was a little too much too quickly, I think.
Yeah. I think for me it was just the I don't know, what was it, Quirk? What did I say last time?
I think all the stuff about Pabu keeps wiping from my memory, so I'm not much help here. But from this episode at least, I liked the part on Pabu I most particularly liked was when when he was doing the sniper training right at the beginning of the episode, he was missing all of his targets. I mean, it was a little bit sad, but, you know, I think it was a good part for the character to kind of visually show that he's beyond just his hand movements, because in the previous episode when they were ambushed by the Imperial guard at the end, and he wanted to take all of the gambling money back once again in to get Batcher back, or whatever Echo's pet's name is. He held up in that fight pretty well. Like he shot off most of them, although there was a nice detail like where he missed the first shot. So I thought like just reiterating that he's not what he was at the start of this episode on Pabu was pretty good. But that's probably one of the most highly best things I can say about Pabu at this stage. It's not my favorite. No, it was my favorite episode last season. That's for sure.
Yeah, I was in that boat too. Sorry,
it's definitely not my favorite episode of season two, but yeah, it's definitely not my favorite episode of season two, but I don't think it deserves the vitriol hatred that it's getting. In this episode, Pabu is definitely a good, you start to see that armor that Crosshair wears crack in that episode, in that part where he's talking about sniping and everything. You're starting to see that he's struggling with his identity. Who is he without that identity of the sniper? He is by far the person that's put the most stock emotionally in this is what I am. The Clone Wars dealt with identity crisis, but it's never dealt with it well. It's never really given it weight. I'm really hoping that Crosshair's identity crisis with maybe I can't be this lone gunman anymore. I really hope they do that justice and not just kind of glance over it of, oh, well, we kind of did the PTSD thing.
Yeah, for sure. What's the theory with what's going to happen with Tanta's base? They've got this data pad now with information that they need to potentially break out people who are there. I think there's a big question as to who those people are, since a lot of them are actually working for the Empire, you know, knowing that they are and willingly. So I'm just sort of wondering, I'm a little puzzled as to what their hopes are to, you know, investigate and break out whoever's being held other than people in cells. You know, maybe it's just the clones like being experimented on or whatever, who knows. But there's a lot of clones there that are, you know, very personally involved in you know, and probably very actively supporting the project that's going on there. Who knows, right? So I'm just a little confused as to the motivation or the you know, just like what is their end goal here for like taking people out? Like who are they going to decide as to like who's working for the bad guys and who isn't? And that's just something that came to mind, at least when they were discussing this grand plan to stage a big breakout. It's like, okay, well, you know, who's going to leave? Did you guys,
I feel like it's just the prisoners are the ones that will leave, and then those that are manning the prison won't leave, right? I feel like it might just come down to that in the end, but
yeah,
I'm not sure. We'll see what happens, but it does, I do feel like how many episodes are in the season? Is it 12 or is it 18? Like similar to last time?
Yeah, it's 15 episodes, I think.
15.
Yeah.
Right. Because like the reason why I think that is like, I think the prison break might be like the mid-season subplot, and then we might get something bigger after that, which is to do with the midichlorians and the Kaminoans towards the end. So maybe, but we're already at episode 5. I don't think they'll save the prison break, or it's not even the prison break, but the base break until right at the end. So we'll see where it all goes.
That's kind of crazy. We're a third of the way through the season already. That's pretty nuts.
It feels like we just started.
Yeah, exactly.
Trying to make it
hurt. This episode was quite short. It was, I mean, at least there wasn't like a crazy amount of substance here. So, you know, I think that's pretty much all I got. Unless anyone else wants to bring anything up, we can just head right into Pablo Poins and Poodoos.
The moment that they give him his armor back, I thought that was really interesting because you see a flood of emotion through him. Like, I know he doesn't emote well,
yeah,
but like the music really tells how he's feeling. And you, like, I don't think that it ever occurred to him that they might save his armor. So he kind of gets depressed of like, oh, they never stop caring.
Right. Right. Yeah. I think that's definitely a good scene to note. I like the fact that he, you know, he kind of like looks down inside the case, sees his old armor and just has a moment of recollection and probably thinking of the old days, you know, thinking of how things used to be, and probably in his, you know, he's probably very thankful that they didn't toss the armor away. But I like the fact that I think it was Wrecker who says like it just didn't feel right. Like it just didn't feel right to get rid of it. And that was pretty cool that he said that, because you know, it definitely goes to show like they never stopped caring about their brother, their squad mate that they've their brother in arms, that even though they got betrayed by, you know, he's still one of the group, and and he's still very much part of them, you know, inside and out. So
yeah, he never gave up hope.
Right, exactly. Yeah, hope. Yeah, that's the key word for sure. So Pablo Points of Poodoos is how we rate things on the podcast. It's a bit of a fun rating system. We start at the very bottom with three Pablo Poodoos, and then going up from there, we got two Pablo Poodoos, one Pablo Poodoo, and a Bendu. A Bendu is a 50% score, and then we have Pablo Points. We got one Pablo Point, two Pablo Points, and three Pablo Points, which is the best of the best. So why don't you kick us off, Darian? What would you call this one?
I'm gonna give this one Pablo Point because it was a nod to the best episode of season two, where you really see Crosshair lose faith in the Empire, kill his CO, and you know, realize that his brothers are dying and the Empire truly does not care.
Yeah. What about you, Kirk?
And the Jurassic Park.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I think I'll give it the same. The one Pablo Point for me. I quite enjoyed it for the same reason as Darian just mentioned there. I think I also liked seeing more of Crosshair in the beginning with his struggles to get back to his, I guess, skill level, or his PTSD, as we've established, come back. And also the snow worm.
Yeah.
Good little reference there, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
They could have called it like the snow serpent, but no, they call it the worm. So I think there's something there.
Yeah. I'm going to give it the same, actually. I think you guys are on the nose of that. One Pablo Point for me as well. What I really liked about something that we didn't touch up on was a scene where Crosshair is like slowly taking the clone helmets that he finds in a pile in the corner of the base and starts putting them on the shelf, almost like a form of respect, you know, and I really liked that a lot, that he kind of looks at the one, which was, I think the guy that the one that he was saved by and the one that he saves in return, and the ones that he basically shoots the officer about, his helmet was there, and he just kind of like looks at it and reminisces. And this is really a character who is quite lost, you know, in himself, and he's just trying to find himself again. And I think that's what a lot of this episode was about. So there wasn't a whole lot of action going on, but you know, I really appreciated sort of the character growth. And this episode was just definitely the bridge to bring him back as a returned, you know, member of the Bad Batch, you know, so that we're going into this final season with all of the cast members reunited and back doing their thing again. So so that to me was you know, pretty special. So that was I think that, yeah, that deserves a one Pablo Point for sure. So, and that's all we got.
Absolutely no disrespect to the Pablo episode from season two, and we're talking about the holiday special, but if you're in a cell and you're in prison for a week, and you could either have a TV in that cell that was playing either the holiday special on repeat or the Pablo episode on repeat, and considering that the Pablo episode is better in terms of content, but it only goes for 20 minutes, so it repeats much more often. Which of the two would you choose, the holiday special or the Pabu episode from season two?
This is a tough question to answer, man. Like, the more I think about it, the worse it gets. I think it's probably, I think for me, it's gotta be the holiday special, I think, to be honest, which is saying something. I think in part though, it's probably because that's longer, so there's a bit more variation to sort of hear and look at. So that definitely plays like a major part in that.
Yeah, you've got 18, for every 5 minutes, sorry, for every one holiday special, you have six Pabu's episodes. And there is some good stuff in there, but like, you have to watch it over and over again, including the credits, whole thing. Yeah.
Jeez.
1 week, Daria, what would you say?
I'm going to go with the Pabu episode because I don't know what I'm getting into with the holiday special, having never seen it. And at least with Pabu, you could sit there and dissect like every corner of the screen as it goes through Pabu. So I'd be entertained for at least a couple of days being like, oh, look, there's Boba Fett in the background on level 5 of Pabu. Also, I have 7 older sisters, so I can block out anything.
That's it. Nice. That's a pretty in-depth analysis right there.
Well done. What are you guys hoping for the next episode? We have like absolutely no idea what's going to happen.
I don't know. We'll see. There's nothing. I'm looking forward to more of an introduction and going back and forth with what's going on at the main base. And I really want to find out what's going on with this cloning program and the M count. I think I'm very ready. It's been 2 years now since the first mention in Mando. I'm very keen to see where this wraps up because I feel like it's going to wrap up pretty soon.
Awesome.
I think we're going to have one more episode of this arc, and then I'm really looking forward to seeing what they bring in with Ventress.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and speaking of anyone who's wanting to catch up on Ventress stories, definitely look back at Clone Wars, the Brotherhood novel, the Clone Wars theatrical release, the Dark Disciple, the novel as well. A great one. So, yeah, very curious to see how they're going to tie it into that. Did you read that novel, Durian?
I am just reading it now. I'm not very far in, though.
Okay. All right, then. Well, thank you guys for coming on, and we will catch you in the next one or the one after that.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you to our audience for tuning in each week and for joining us, breaking down this episode of The Bad Batch. We got more coming your way with that, and lots of additional things that we can stack before and after, as we have done the last 2 weeks. But this week was solely focused on Bad Batch. For those of you who have not found our YouTube channel, please go look it up. Link is in the description below. You can also subscribe to the Discord. We're looking for people to boost the server, just to kind of help grow the space. So if you're interested in help growing a Discord community, definitely let us know. Go to the YouTube, like and subscribe, all that stuff. Instagram is closed. You can find us on Twitter, though, with the handle at SWEscapePodcast, also known as X. We launched our new website, so definitely check that out. Link is in the description. Lots of links down there, so check those out. May the Force be with you guys. We'll see you in the next episode of Star Wars Escape Podcast.